All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 29.
29?
Yeah,
29. I was on the site just this afternoon, and episode 27 was on the site. What happened at 28?
You don't want to know what happened at 28.
Aw. What happened at 28, Fantastic? Be honest.
We have a website?
That is plausible deniability right there. At its finest.
Wow. Jeez.
What?
I was on a boat in the Caribbean, and I was on the website. You don't know we have a website? Douche.
That's awesome.
We're
going to check that out.
Fantastic and I, we don't really want to discuss episode 28.
Did it just not go well?
Yeah. Didn't really, yeah. Well, actually, we've actually found a few clips from 28.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to pepper them in during the breaks.
I see.
So you can see exactly why there was no episode 28.
Wow. Jeez, I go away and everything falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Tisk, tisk.
You left me alone with him.
I cannot help that. I had to go. The seas were calling my name.
Well, let's just say that this is episode 29, the mystery of episode 28.
All right, I'm just going to go with it and trust you. I don't know why I trust you, but I'm going to trust you.
Look, just trust me.
All right.
It was awful.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Eek. Dare I say.
So, you got some news? Please.
Sure. I know that Timothy Oliphant, who you may know from HBO's Deadwood series,
ooh,
is going to be playing the baddie opposite Bruce Willis in Die Hard 4. Live Free or Die Hard.
That's the title?
Well, it's... I don't know. It's,
I like that title.
Yeah, it's not awful.
Does it
take
place in, what's that state?
New Hampshire.
That?
Yeah.
Is it New Hampshire?
I don't know.
Live
I
free
guess.
Or die. Someone consult the Carlin tapes.
Good call.
Wasn't that the license plate joke?
It was the license plate joke.
Somewhere between Live Free or Die and Famous Potatoes.
Yeah, something like that.
Wasn't that Idaho
yeah,
Famous
it was like,
Potatoes?
Something yeah. Silly.
All right, so,
Timothy Oliphant will
who
be
is
playing...
fucking spot on in Deadwood.
Yes.
As the sheriff.
Right.
Whose name I don't remember. And of course, I'll never have to really remember because they fucking canceled it. Or rather, that idiot Flitcher, whatever the fuck his name is who created it, decided he didn't want to do it anymore.
Right. I don't know why.
What a jerk off.
No clue, but.
What a jerk off.
In addition to Mr. Oliphant, Mary Elizabeth Winstead will be playing Lucy McLean, John's daughter.
Oh, they're bringing the daughter in.
They're bringing the daughter in. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure where I've seen her before, but she's pretty damn cute.
How old is she?
I don't know. She looks as though she may be legal. No, she looks like she's in her 20s, like her early 20s probably.
Okay, that's interesting. Tim Oliphant was also in a great bad guy in The Girl Next Door.
Ooh.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah.
She's hot.
She is hot.
In that movie, she was particularly hot.
That movie was thumbs up because she wasn't running away from mountain lions.
That's right. She's on that awful 24, right?
Awful? You're a blasphemer. I know. You should hush.
You know what it is, though? You know what it is with shows like that? God forbid you miss one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let me tell you another
show. That's what the DVD sets are for.
Can I just tell you another show that's like that?
Sure.
Heroes.
Which my fucking DVR messed up while I was away, and I've only seen the first episode. I haven't seen any of the other episodes.
Holy shit.
So other people have told me they like it. So
holy shit.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh man, it's really good. And the last two
Do you have
weeks,
them saved?
No, I don't. Because I erase them when I'm done.
Yeah, I'll have to find them.
But I'm telling you, man, the last two have been just banging. And you're like, oh my God. So you're kind of, you know what? They're really starting to join up. You know what I mean? They're starting to meet each other, and they're starting to be like, hey, we got something going on here. We got to talk about it and stuff. And it's like it's really happening. You've been watching that one? Fantastic.
No, I watched the first one, and then I tried to watch the second one, but never got through it. I wasn't too cool, too keen on it.
I hear they're online on iTunes, I think, and someplace else. So I just download them, and I'll watch them that way.
You know what it is? After watching Lost, which you can tell is either really well planned out or they have absolutely no clue what's going on, things come together in the show. I feel like it was so contrived in Heroes. Like, all right, you know this person's going to do this. You see the comic book. You know this is going to go on. It was just a little bit too slow for me. I was, like, honestly sitting there falling asleep.
The first one.
The second one that I tried to watch.
I'm telling you, man, that you can it's actually, to me, it's brilliant in the sense that you can actually see that it's all starting to come together. You know what I mean? We're like
week was episode four.
Four or five, whatever it is you can really see that the story, which has been kind of here, mm-hmm. way out on the fringe, is really starting to close
down.
You know, because all of these people are starting to come together in weird ways.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that to happen.
The one thing that I don't even know if this still exists out there in the show, because what are they on, four or five right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, having seen the beginning of two as the last thing that I've seen, the nuclear mushroom cloud, the blast cloud, is really the only thing that would possibly bring me back to it, thinking that, you know, maybe they have to get together to prevent this somehow.
Right.
I would go back for that, but I think I would go back at the, you know, with the DVDs.
Would I be ruining it for you, Matt, if I said something about it, which I thought was kind of keen?
No, I mean, I'm going to see it, and whatever. You could.
I couldn't care. I would request a spoiler update.
Really?
You could tell me everything.
All right. Well, then.
What?
Then we
Matt's
probably
here as well. So.
Well, then we should probably put a.
Attention! The following information is considered spoiler material.
Here. Okay, so now you're duly warned. What I'm about to say about the show is definitely spoiler material.
Okay.
At the cliffhanger at the end of the third episode, right? Because this week was four.
Yeah.
At the end of the third episode, the dude who we thought could fly when we talked about episode one,
yeah,
he can't, by the way. Or he can, as long as he's in proximity of. So he's a sponge.
Okay.
He's a power sponge.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, which they're going to reveal.
So
which
he's Leech from X3.
Pretty much, they fully reveal that.
Okay.
No, not Leech from X3. He didn't absorb powers. He got rid of
mutation. He got rid of powers.
Right.
I'm sorry.
This would be more like Mimic.
Yes.
Remember
okay.
Mimic? More like that, but not quite as extreme.
Kind of like Rogue.
No. Well, in the sense that he doesn't have to touch anybody.
All right, yeah.
Because in episode four, I'm getting ahead of myself, but in episode four, he's in proximity of the painter.
Right.
And he finishes one of his paintings.
Mm.
So that was, you know, so that kind of cemented the fact that he's a sponge. He's a power sponge.
Right.
So his brother can fly since he flew
his
in the presence
brother,
of his brother.
They show his brother full out fly in episode four.
Yes. Okay. In like a costume? Does anybody wear a costume?
No, there's no costumes.
No.
Not really. No, there's no costumes. I don't think there's going to be, because I think, like I said, like we talked about, I think they're going to keep this on the real tip.
Yeah.
In the Unbreakable sense.
Right.
really, where, I mean, Mr. Glass tried to have a costume, sort of, or at least a color scheme in that movie, which I thought was neat. But let's talk about episode three really quick. The cliffhanger for episode three going into four is the sponge is on the subway with the Indian professor son guy.
Okay,
who kind of is the narrator of the series. He narrates a bit at the beginning of each part.
Yeah.
They're on the train. All of a sudden, the train freezes, stops moving. Everything on the train stops moving except the sponge.
Right.
And you hear him say, you hear a voice say the sponge's name. I have a message for you. And they don't show who it is. And the beginning of episode, or do they show who it is at the end of three? Or is it?
Either way.
Either way. It's Hiro.
Yeah.
It's the Japanese guy.
Oh, right.
Right. But he speaks perfect English. Perfect English. And he has long hair, which is back in a ponytail.
Right.
Speaks perfect English, and he goes up to him and he goes, wow, you look different without the scar. And he's like, oh. And he has a samurai sword slung over his back in the, you know, in kind of that action pose where I could get it out really quick.
Usagi Yojimbo?
Yeah. Well, no, because that's traditional samurai. It's you know, off the that old off-the-back thing that
Michelangelo?
Ninjas do.
Or not Michelangelo.
Really. Yeah, Donatello. Yeah, Donatello. Like,
so
no.
It's Hiro from the future.
Hold
come back.
Leonardo.
Oh, yeah. Donatello was the staff.
And which one was the clone?
The clone.
One was a clone of the other three?
Which?
There was no clone.
Who's the clone? Who's a clone, man?
Oh, right.
Tell me one person who's a clone.
Very funny.
No, he wasn't a clone. Come on. Who was it?
Boba Fett.
Good boy. So, he has a
Boba
sword
Fett.
Just slung over.
Where?
And he
Boba
goes
Fett, where?
And he says, you know, you have to give, you have to tell me where we're supposed to meet and all this stuff. It's kind of really cool that way. You know what I mean? That's one of those things that I was, if I had doubts before, the moment that happened, I was in. Because I'm like, wow. Because if he, whatever the future of this program is, this TV show, this guy is in the future with long hair and speaks spot on perfect English.
All right. So I'm going to have to really go online and catch up.
All right. I'm sold. I'll get back into it. And I'll
let me know if you find the episodes someplace also.
All right.
Because I'm sure they're available via other methods as well.
I already know where to get them.
Well, then you can get them to me.
The inner tubes.
Exactly.
The inner tubes.
So, since we're talking about television shows.
Yes.
And I guess somewhat comic, geeky related television shows. I guess Marvel made some sort of announcement that they're going
to
be.
Program?
Yeah. Marvel made an announcement that they're going to develop and produce a Moon Knight television series.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, that's exciting.
So, not much news out there just yet, other than the fact that they are doing it, they are pursuing it. And it's something we can look forward to. I don't know if it's cable or network yet, but
Moon Knight.
But I'm sure we'll hear about it.
Moon Knight, crazy.
I was reading online today where some website referred to Moon Knight as Marvel's poor attempt at Batman.
And you know what? It would almost be accurate by the way that they've played him in the past.
Right.
The current incarnation of Moon Knight, though, I think is a bit more mystical, magical, and there's different things going on with him. But he's been kind of, the character Mark Spector, over the years, they've just laid him out as being crazy.
Right.
You know, like, just kind of nutty. Which is why he's never really had a team affiliation, which is why they never really sort of mainstreamed him or anything like that. It's appropriate that they take this license and try to do something with it. It's a solo character. It is kind of in a Batman sort of vein in the sense that he has this one little area that he does, and he does work at night a lot and so on. Although it's going to be interesting to see how they play the costume off because it's all white.
Right.
Which is kind of weird. Well, depending on who.
But it's all white, but it kind of has that. It always kind of has like that bluish tint hue. No. It's like, it's kind of almost like a shading kind of tint to it.
Yeah,
so
it
maybe if they kind of do
it. Depends on who colors
it. Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is for television, if they kind of darken it up a bit and do a bluish hue, they might be able to get away with it a little bit better than just stark white.
Right. And he's actually going to be in Marvel Legends. Marvel Legends Wave 15, which we now have pictures of.
Isn't Marvel Legends Wave 15 hitting already?
No. 15. We just got pictures.
Oh, okay.
The MODOK wave? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was hitting already, but I could be wrong.
Really? I haven't seen
it. I thought so. I thought I had read that.
No, it's the one before that's hitting.
Oh, okay.
It's 14 just started hitting, I think.
Which one's that? Onslaught?
No. After Onslaught, before MODOK. Mojo.
Go to actionfigure.com.
Yeah, he's right. It's Mojo.
Mojo.
Oh, okay.
Mojo's
hitting. But I thought that was 15.
That's 14. MODOK is 15.
Okay.
I got pictures.
Okay. I thought I read it on Action Figure. That's all.
And I got pictures to prove it.
And speaking of Marvel Legends, why don't we talk about Marvel Legends for a second? We've got images of all the next wave of Marvel Legends stuff. So let's do a brief overview of that, shall we?
We shall.
Marvel Legends, Wave 15, or as we're calling it, the MODOK wave.
Right.
MODOK is the Build-A-Figure. Don't know who MODOK is? Look on your screen now. That's MODOK. Okay. It seems like this is Toy Biz's last line, by the way.
Yes.
And they are determined to stick it to all of us on the way out the door.
Well, I just want to start off by saying, before we get into this, that I like the look of some of the figures.
Right.
I'd be happy to own some of the figures.
No one's saying.
I know. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what we got. Moon Knight.
Right.
Which we just discussed, so it kind of makes sense. He actually, I think, is a recut version of the Marvel Select figure that came out a few months ago.
Well, it's possible. We've noticed that with about other figures in the past. So. Okay.
Of course, he has a variant. In fact, all of them have a variant except one.
Except one.
Well, yeah. And,
okay.
And,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll just take them as we go here. Ready? Moon Knight. Black costume, white highlights.
Right.
That's the regular one.
Right.
That, to my understanding, is not the Moon Knight costume. It's always been very shady and stuff, but my understanding was that the costume was entirely white.
Right.
Which the variant sort of is.
Sort of is.
It's kind of washed with gray. It's kind of white with washed with gray.
Okay.
Not that the black one looks bad. I think the black one looks great. I don't know why they didn't switch it that way a long time ago. But if we're going based on what it is,
right,
that's not what it is.
Sure.
All right. Wasp.
Okay.
The regular Wasp, to me, looks like Ultimate Wasp.
Okay.
She's got the short hair. She kind of maybe a little Asian looking.
A little pixie kind of looking almost.
Yes. Black. Yes. Blackish, black and yellow costume, something like that.
Black and
that.
Red, I think.
I enjoy the
black and yellow.
I enjoy the blue variant on the figure.
Okay, well, you're getting way ahead.
I'm just saying.
Wasp has two variants, Matt.
Right.
The blue and black costume from the Avengers, which would be somewhere in the 70s, 80s.
Right.
The red and black costume, which I think technically is the one she's wearing in regular Marvel continuity,
right.
Whatever that fucking means.
Right.
And I believe that the regular one is the ultimate one. That's just my opinion.
Yes.
I'm going to skip the next one. I'm going to go down to Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Or Mar-Vell, or however the fuck you want to pronounce it, due to fucking lawsuits over Shazam, and I don't even give a shit. You know him, Captain Mar-Vell, blonde guy, red and black costume, blah, blah, blah. He also has the variant, the way he sort of looks these days, white hair, black starry skin.
Right. I kind of like that one.
I like that one, too. I like them both, actually. Beta Ray Bill, who kind of really doesn't look as nearly as good as the Beta Ray Bill from the Avengers line in the late 90s.
He looks a little sickly.
Yeah, he's way too small. He's always been portrayed as really kind of, I don't want to say Hulk size, but he's definitely big.
Honestly, to be completely honest with you, it looks like they took a Thor body, which is a little bit smaller than Beta Ray Bill's body, right? And then they did a shitty head sculpt and slapped it on top.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, that's what it looks like. I mean, the muscles, the skin tone and stuff, it doesn't look any different. It looks like they took Thor's body and painted it brown.
He's kind of To me, not seems kind of the weakest one sort of in the line.
Yeah, not feeling him.
Spider Woman.
Right.
Who has made a big comeback in the Marvel Universe because she has big breasts.
Well, yeah.
I think. Because I don't get why on Earth she would be anywise other important. I don't get it.
Because they've killed off so many other characters.
I guess. I don't know. Just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, you get the regular one is the red and black with the long black hair, that costume.
Right.
And, of course, the variant is the black and white variant costume where she has the lighter hair.
Right.
Are those two different people? I don't even remember anymore.
I don't think so.
I don't think I care.
I don't think so.
I don't think I care. Now, here we go. Of course, what does every Marvel Legends line have to have? One of two figures appears in every Marvel Legends line. Go.
Wolverine and Iron Man.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there is no Wolverine in this line, which means there must be Fantastic.
Iron Man.
Correct. And in this line...
Does it come with the bottle?
The MODOK... Wait, because you're about to lose your mind. In this one, you get Asgardian armor Iron Man.
Right, so which is silly looking.
It's terrible looking, first of all. Second of all, I mean, are they really got to be running low on Iron Man's to go here?
I thought they were running low on Iron Man when they did Stealth Suit Iron Man, which was like wave two of Marvel
Legends.
What
about Hulkbuster Iron Man?
Ugh.
Now, okay. So you're asking yourself, what's the variant? Yes. There is no variant.
Well, that can only mean one thing.
Toy Biz has gone back on their word and have produced a Chase figure.
There's a shot.
Thank you very much, Jesse Falcon, you fucking liar. We are no longer producing Chase figures. So let's be specific about what we're talking about here. A paint variant or a variant figure is a figure that remains largely unchanged sculpt-wise,
right.
But... they can change a costume.
Right.
Little things. Short hair, long hair, things like that. We consider those, that's a variant.
Right.
Because it's the same character, different costume, different effects and so forth. Iron Man doesn't have one. They have made the character Destroyer, which is some sort of magically enhanced suit of Asgardian armor. They're calling that the variant of the... Asgardian armor Iron Man, and I am sickened by it. This is exactly what they said they weren't going to do, and they're right at the end, they're sticking it to everybody.
Well, not to play devil's advocate, but do we have any idea what the production run on Destroyer is?
No, but...
For example, right? In order for him to be a Chase, he's got to be more rare than the variants, right? Because the variants are probably... maybe one per case, something like that.
Well, we don't know.
But if Destroyer is one per case, let's say, then he's not really a Chase. He's kind of like a...
You would have to assume
Do you know what I'm saying, though? I mean, do you know where I'm going with it? He's not one in 100.
Right. The way he's listed...
Right.
The way he is listed, he is listed as a variant.
Right.
And if he is a variant, that means he will not be in every case.
Right.
Which means he is a different character... who does not appear in every case, which makes him a...
Chase.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's move on very quickly. Face Off Wave 2. This is the Marvel 2 packs.
Right.
You're going to get Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Classic.
Very classic. And it's the Herb Trimpe.
Wolverine.
Right. Costume. Or so is our determination.
Is that the first time that costume has been done in a figure? Did it
do a
select figure of him?
Not in that costume. I don't think so. No. That would be Wolverine's original costume, by the way.
Right.
And it's also Sabretooth in his early costume,
right.
His first real costume, also the furry collar, black kind of one. The variant on that is the two of them are growling.
Right.
I think the variant on that is probably going to be the hot one. Because it looks, I think it looks much better.
Sabretooth looks better, but I don't think Wolverine looks better. But personal opinion.
Well, it's early yet.
It just doesn't make any sense if you're recreating that scene in the snow that they're both going to be standing there staring at each other, not growling and ready to fight.
Maybe Fantastic has hit it on the head, at least from my point of view. Second one, Mandarin Iron Man.
Right, and I've been waiting for that one.
Right, because Mandarin's a good...
Because I want a Mandarin figure.
The Iron Man there is kind of the current incarnation Iron Man armor, red and yellow, or orange and yellow.
Right.
And the Mandarin is the green and yellow kind of flowy robed one with the helmet.
Right, yeah, I don't really care for that one.
The variant here is the better Mandarin in the red and yellow robes without the helmet on, which looks really cool. But it's some sort of black and white Iron Man who to me looks kind of, I don't get it. I mean, it kind of could be War Machine, but it isn't.
But it isn't.
And it's not really Iron Man. So I don't know what they're calling that Iron Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm calling him shitty Iron Man.
Yeah. Out of paint Iron Man.
The third one is Punisher and Jigsaw. Now, this one is cool.
It is.
Because the Punisher figure, to me, looks better than the three that have been produced already.
I like the Punisher figure. The first one that came out?
I don't know. I never really jived with him. Well, and in this one, the regular version has Jigsaw in the Punisher costume.
Right, that's a great figure.
Which is interesting because I would have figured that would have been the variant. But according to our information, the variant one features the Punisher with a different skull design on him.
Right.
Which we have yet to find an explanation for.
I'm not really sure.
And Jigsaw in the kind of white Scarface kind of suit that normally he is seen in, or at least he was seen in.
You know, looking at that figure in the white suit, I never realized before, he kind of almost looks a little like Two-Face.
He looks a lot
only
like
Whole Face.
Yeah. Whole Face. That's what they should call him. Icons Series 3. This is basically Marvel Legends at a, 12, 16-inch scale, something like that.
Banging figures.
Yeah, they're nice. I mean, they're basically big versions of Marvel Legends figures.
But I love them.
So far, the best two have been, in my opinion, the Hulk and the Gray Hulk, because they're actually in scale with Marvel Legends.
I don't know. That Venom figure with like the half a Venom head and the Eddie Brock face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's an awesome piece.
It is. And you know what the shame of it is that they never did that one in a 6-inch scale.
Yeah.
So
it's an awesome piece.
I don't know. Anyway, Wave 3, we can expect Spider-Man,
woo-hoo!
Which is good because it'll probably be out before the movie, I suspect. Uh-huh. And the variant on that, of course, would be Unmasked Spider-Man.
He looks so sad.
I know. He looks pathetic, really. And, of course, hold on to your hats, kids. The other piece in the Icon Series 3 is Beast. Blue furry Beast. The probably one of, if not the lowest selling Marvel Legend figure that we have ever heard of. Is it me, or can you still find Blue Beast on the shelf in some stores?
KB.
I mean, why on earth would they pick that character to blow up?
I don't know.
Anyway, I
don't know. If they were going to do an X-Men character, why you would start with Beast? If you're going to do an X-Men character, aside from Wolverine,
they have done.
Right. Why would you go with Beast? I mean, why not go with
anyone else?
Go with Cyclops.
Yeah.
I mean, Cyclops, great character, great icon in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, there's at least 7 variants that they could do and have done.
Yeah,
so
but I mean, that's a... And I love Beast. I'm a big Beast fan, but that's a more appropriate figure.
I'm looking at the picture of Beast right here, and let's just say, if you are a fan of dry brushing, you need to buy this Beast.
Yeah. Well, that aside, he does have a variant, and of course, it's the same variant that they've done on him last time, which appeared actually in that X-Men box set, the only one you could get Rogue in, whatever the fuck that was called. And it's it's basically the same Beast with
Professor
the white
Beast.
Coat. Professor Beast with the white coat and the glasses. Ooh la la. The worst, probably one of, if not the worst selling Marvel Legends figure ever, and they've decided to blow him up into an icon. I just don't fucking get that company.
Now, let me just say, even though it was one of the worst selling figures ever, the figure itself was a pretty nice figure. I just want to say, though, I mean, as far as the figure goes, it was a nice figure.
Yeah.
But as far as sell-through goes, awful choice. Terrible choice.
I don't get it. Finally, rounding out this wave, if you will, of Marvel Legends product would be the
Masterworks.
The Marvel Masterworks featuring the Thing versus the Hulk.
Right.
Nice piece. And Galactus, they're saying it's Galactus versus everybody.
Okay.
But to me, it looks like the Avengers and the Fantastic Four.
But no Sue Storm.
Matt.
Yes.
She's invisible.
Usually they represent her as like having some invisicone well, or invisible wall.
Can you think outside of the box for 5 seconds, please?
No, I agree with you.
Can't but, you just say still. She's there? Every other person in the Fantastic Four is there. Most of the Avengers are there. But she is mysteriously missing. Can't you just like, can't you give them benefit of the... Look, I'm giving Marvel Legends, fucking Toy Biz, the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Well, the view of this figure is... full frontal, let's say. Maybe she's hanging on his back.
Maybe she's hanging on his back. Good point.
She's
fantastic.
Near his ass.
That was great to put out a Galactus piece to coincide potentially with the release of the Fantastic Four 2.
I don't know how they're going to have Galactus look like this in the movie.
With the knows. Pink and blue?
Oh, God. I mean, it's so cool.
I'm going for a big Galactus head and big Galactus arm and hand. And that's about it.
That's it. Somebody just slaps it away.
Yeah,
and that's the end of it.
I'm not
the thing just slaps his hand and it all right, I'll leave the planet alone.
Yeah, that's about it. So,
I got a couple more things.
All right, let's go.
Let's talk about Onslaught Reborn.
No.
Yes.
No.
We have to. The awful, awful, awful Onslaught. Well, actually, no. I should rephrase that because the Onslaught. For those of you that don't know, Onslaught was a crossover series, Marvel Big Summer series, where it crossed over into every book, much like Civil War, except cool. And Onslaught basically was a manifestation of Professor X and Magneto's psyche, blah, however they explain it. And it's a great crossover. And what it did was it basically, for a time, killed every hero in the Marvel Universe except the X-Men. So your Avengers, your FF, all those guys gone into their own little universe, which became Marvel Heroes Reborn,
right?
Which was Marvel's sad-ass attempt to basically relaunch all the, kind of update and relaunch all of those characters, which didn't work, which of course... a few years later would give rise to, hey, let's really do it right this time, and led to the Ultimate books. So, that being
good
said...
Good idea, bad idea.
Right. That being said, Jeff Loeb with artist Rob Liefeld, or as I like to call him, comic book poison.
They let him work anymore?
I can't... When I saw this, I about retched.
I mean, Jeff Loeb, two thumbs up, but...
It's 10 years ago... that this Onslaught happened, and now Marvel's revisiting the alternate reality in a limited series that will bring back Onslaught and other fragments of that universe with him, because, as we all know, that universe was created by... Matthew, do you know the answer?
I don't know.
Created by Franklin Richards.
Oh, right.
And it basically, it ended up being the blue ball that he had in his hand, whatever the fuck that was.
Yee.
Whatever it was, it should have remained a blue ball. They should have popped it and thrown it away.
Right.
But apparently now they've put a piece of tape over it. I have reinflated it for this awful miniseries. I can't believe Jeff Loeb doesn't have better things to do with his time. I can't believe someone gave Rob Liefeld work, because his worst work ever was that Captain America book. You remember that promo art that he did with the Captain America with the chest that was 6 feet wide?
Yeah, but he got that. He started doing that. What was that book that he did for Image after Youngblood?
It wasn't after Youngblood. It was after he was removed from Captain America.
Not that book. No. But he really started that style. What was that? Was it Prophet or...
There was a book called Prophet.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's the one he's talking. Yeah, but I know what you mean, that one.
That real...
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to mention the fact that he was removed from the Captain America book, he took his unpublished pages from Captain America and turned them into the Jack Kirby.
It was an American Hero or U.S. Hero or
something, like some Jack Kirby obscure character that looked just like Captain America, another S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. And they published, whatever, 6 or 7 issues of that.
They put
before.
Out a figure of that, too.
Yeah, I got them.
I know. You have both of them. You have the Kirby one and the
Life
one.
That's right. I do. The fact that he's getting work again just kind of sickens me.
It saddens me that Jeff Loeb is doing this. I really like Jeff Loeb's work.
I wonder if Jeff Loeb is exclusive to Marvel and it was just kind of do this. Maybe. I can't understand why anybody would want to re-explore. This is like re-exploring. This is something else they've done lately also, is they've been re-exploring the new universe.
Look, if they're going to re-explore
Star Brand and
DP7. If they're going to re-explore something like that, if they're going to pick something from like that area of Marvel history to really redo, why not re-explore like Age of Apocalypse?
Yeah. Or
that was good.
They did that. They did that recently.
Well,
they did do one. They did an Age of Apocalypse book, and I guess based on the fact that that sold very well,
right,
they're kind of exploring these other things, because following it came the re-exploration of the new universe,
right,
which nobody understands because those books flat out sucked. Had nothing to do with the Marvel Universe. They flat out blew monkeys.
Right.
I guess based on the sales of Onslaught still, or rather Age of Apocalypse, that they've decided that maybe let's try giving Onslaught a little push also. I don't get it. Like, here's an idea, Marvel. Why don't you try exploring the Marvel-verse from 15 years ago or 20 years ago? Remember when all the books had continuity? Which is something I'm going to talk about again real quick right now. Because guess what?
What?
Josh Whedon is leaving his little X-Men book.
Oh.
Astonishing X-Men. Well, what a big fucking surprise.
Why is he leaving?
Why? Well, because he has a life. I don't know. Probably because he wants to do other things.
It's not because he's bringing Firefly back?
No, it's probably because... Oh God, I wish it was because he's bringing Firefly back. But no, he has had his own way with these X-Men characters. Now he's entering the final story arc of Astonishing X-Men,
right,
which means, A, who the fuck knows who's going to take over for Astonishing X-Men when he's done, and B, is there ever, is this book ever going to have continuity? And I'd like to read you just a little thing here. They ask, in The New Wizard, actually, they mm-hmm. talk to him about this, and they ask, why don't we ever see Astonishing crossover with things like Civil War and other major Marvel events? Do you not play well with others? Which is a cute little right. thing Wizard does about being coy. And he says, I wish that I could participate in crossovers sometimes because that's sort of fun. But I hate books that necessitate the reading of other books. It's difficult to keep up because we are bi-monthly. Things are moving so fast, too. They went straight from House of M Fallout to Civil War. And they've got stuff coming up after that that's pretty mind-blowing, do they? He stops to say DC is doing the same thing. Yeah, but they're doing it better. I mean, their big crossover book wasn't so good, but their Fallout is much better. The events are walking among us like giants. It's an event after event after event, and there's barely enough room for all of them. The other thing about it is that my stories tend to take place in a day. I don't set out to do that, but I'm not a great one for the passage of time. I love momentum. I love to see people going through something very intense. I like to get into real time as soon as possible. So ultimately, that makes it harder for me to be part of other big events, but also easier for me to do the book without running up against them. They're on issue 19 of Astonishing X-Men. Would he like us to believe that this has taken place in one day? Because I've read it, and it certainly seems like it's taken place in more days than that. If that's the case, this book is nowhere near continuity, which means this book is standalone. It's not that he would like to. It's that he doesn't have to. It's the whole fucking problem with Marvel right now. The whole problem is that they've given these guys with big names like Josh Whedon, they've given him his own book and say, do whatever you want. You know, one of his conditions was, I want Colossus in the book. Well, he was dead. Well, I'm going to bring him back. And that's it. He's run roughshod over these characters, doing whatever the hell he wants. Colossus doesn't have powers anymore. Or not right. Colossus, Cyclops. Now he's making fucking Lockheed out to be some sort of spy. You know, he's not a cute pet anymore. Yeah. He's actually, it's just like, what the fuck, dude?
You know what, though? If it is self-contained, I almost have more respect for it. Let him run with the characters and do self-contained.
Then call it come up with a name for these books like DC did, DC Elseworlds books. Come up with a fucking name, Marvel, that says these take place outside of continuity.
Yeah, but the problem
the problem is, man.
You
I'm interrupting you. I'm interrupting you. Because this has got me so pissed off, I can't even breathe. They have got to stop this fucking nonsense of just giving guys books. These are serialized stories. They have been since the fucking 40s. You know, and I understand the need to update and so on and so forth, and I understand that, and I accept it when it happens if it somehow can wrap some of this continuity. This is just a big name who wanted to write an X-Men book since he was a kid, and he went to them and said, look, I am Josh Whedon, the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you want my name on your book, I will have the following things, A, B, C, and D. And when I decide I don't want to do anymore, I'm not going to do anymore. And I don't care what kind of lurch that leaves anybody in. You know what? As much as I love Josh Whedon for Firefly, because I'm not a Buffy or Angel fan, as much as I love him for Firefly, I hate the fact that he's done this. And I hate the fact that any of them have done this. It's a self-contained story? Fine. Then say this is a self-contained story that doesn't happen in continuity. They do that at DC all the time. Alex Ross and Jim Kruger's book, Justice, doesn't take place in continuity.
Again, but we spend all this time talking about how Marvel has no real continuity. So doesn't it seem moot to make an announcement that this doesn't take place in continuity?
It's not an announcement.
There is no continuity.
That's the problem. That's the problem. It's because guys like this come up and they say, I want to do a book. And Marvel says, yes, because your name will sell this book, whether it's good or not. Straczynski's the same fucking way. He's fucking terrible shit he's done with Spider-Man.
Well, no, wait a second. When Straczynski first took over Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, that was some really, really, really good story. I don't know where it went screwy exactly. It was close to... Is he still doing Spider-Man?
I don't even think
he's doing it anymore.
Who the fuck knows?
But I like Straczynski's stuff, but at least he stayed within the context of what was going on in Spider-Man. But the problem with Spider-Man was that there are 50 Spider-Man books, and none of them take place within the continuity of the other ones, unless there's a crossover going on.
Yeah,
Web of Spider-Man was always different than Amazing Spider-Man, which is always different than Spectacular Spider-Man, which was always different than Spider-Man.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
It was different.
Marvel need, you know what? I swear I need somebody in that office who will restore Marvel content. I don't care what they have to do. Marvel could put out, instead of putting out 60 books a month, they could put out 30 books a month and have much better storytelling and continuity and serialized storytelling. Comic books are serialized stories. I know, it's not the way the industry's going toward the trade paperback. I get it. Story arcs are fine, but you know what? This story arc should have something to do with the story arc that contains these characters before it.
Maybe Marvel is trying to get away in some sort of... And they're doing it awfully if this is what they're trying to do. But maybe they're trying to get away from this 30 or 40 year continuity because they found that it hinders new readers in the past. And so instead, they're taking their characters and they're allowing characters that people associate with, characters that people love and want to read about, and just allowing them to have these individual kind of storylines that go on that may or may not interact with each other. Again, I don't agree with it. And I don't necessarily like it, but maybe that's what maybe he's trying to get away from that.
You know what?
40-year continuity because it deters readership.
That would be fine if they appreciated and did something for the people that have been following the 40 years of continuity taking place in X-Men.
Well, look,
if they have something that follows the whatever 45 years continuity of Spider-Man and FF and everything
else. As toy collectors, we have learned. Toy collectors, we have learned that at the very least, toys are no longer or very rarely geared towards the collector. We know this. As members of the collector's market, we are shit upon constantly. Okay? So if you translate that over to comic books, as members of the regular comic book fans, we are shit upon constantly. The stuff that's coming out is geared towards newer people, bringing in new people, kids, younger generation, just like the toys are. They're geared towards these different groups of people. We, as the collectors, are shit upon. This is nothing new. I'm not saying we're becoming complacent to it. Some of us.
It's so...
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, totally. I know what you mean. It's just so... It bugs me so much. It bugs me so much. I've been doing this for such a long fucking time. Comics and toy. I've been doing it for such a long time, and it's such a fucking seed in my fucking craw, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Kev, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Would you rather that they go ahead with newer incarnations like the Ultimate Universe alongside the original universe, the original Marvel universe, or that they just completely end the original and say, okay, what currently is now Marvel Comics and the Marvel comic universe is this, and it's something new, and it's something completely restarted, and they're 100% committed to it, and they go forward, and there's never any looking back.
The
now,
plan
they probably said this.
Okay.
They probably said this, but say, would you rather have them do this, or would you rather say, okay, let's grow the market, let's bring in the new people with books like the Ultimate Universe, and alongside, we'll also do what the older Old Guard collection like. Would you rather have that?
The plan was the way that the way that they laid it out when they were announcing the Ultimates was that the Ultimate line of books was the books for the new generation. They were restarting all these characters and restarting all these stories and so on for the new readers to catch on to. The guys who couldn't get issues from the 60s or continuity from, or so that they wouldn't have to catch up with 40 years of continuity. Those were their books. And that was going to run alongside of, as Fantastic puts it, the Old Guard, the old continuity, the ongoing continuity. And you know what? I was fine with that.
Yeah.
But you know what?
What?
It didn't, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. They ran roughshod right over old continuity because the people in the Old Guard who were somehow trapped between the two were like, well, what are we? Are we going to read this continuity? Are we going to read this continuity? And you know what they decided? And it's just Joe Quesada is the point man on this. Continuity should not stand in the way of a good story.
Now, you know, that's good that you bring that up because me being somebody who's kind of middle of the road, I've been around comics for a while, but was never really picked up steam with any one book and never stuck with it. You know, I picked maybe 5 books in a row here and there, but never read like 25, 70, a whole run like I have now, mostly in the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
Number one, because it's accessible. Number two, because I think it's really good. You know, I can know all that there is about a character because I read from book one and I can get these books and things like that. They're available in trades.
Or online.
Or on the internet. But it just seems to me that maybe it's because it's like modern storytelling versus them trying to milk these characters over time or keep them alive or kill them and bring them back and all this stuff. There's so much more conviction that and realism in the Marvel Universe, in the Ultimate Universe, the way it's going now. For instance, let me give you the Hawkeye character. And, yeah, this is a spoiler if you haven't read this already. But...
Oh, wait.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Okay.
Hawkeye and his family get blown away. Like, blown away dead. Like, I was shaken reading it. When the book is over, you are like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And it's done so well. The imagery, the text throughout, the storyline leading up to it and the storyline leading out of it is just amazing. And it's not because, yes, it's because the storyline is good all throughout. And I think Mark Millar's writing and everything like that, they really got a lot going there. But it's just because you're conditioned from the books before it in the Ultimate Universe to believe that what's going on sticks. It's real.
Right.
You know, if somebody dies, they die.
Right.
Maybe there's a way that they'll come back and, you know, if their death is ambiguous in such a way, you know, they get caught under a rock or something, maybe they'll come back. But this guy is a human. You're led to believe he's a human. His, you know, they bust down his door. There's red dots all over his house and the place gets lit up. His family dies and he dies. And the reader is left changed after that book is over. I've never had an experience like that in the hundreds of books that I've read, you know, slipshod throughout the years in the regular Marvel universes, which is mostly what I've read.
You make a great point, and that point is that you know everything about those characters because you've been reading since book one. Now, there's very few people that have been reading X-Men since book one.
Right.
I grant you that. I give you that.
X-Men however, proper. The real X-Men.
The real X-Men. However, I wasn't reading since issue one, yet I cared enough about the characters when I started reading in the late 70s and early 80s to find out that information. And you know what? A lot of times this is the thing. A lot of times in those books, if they were referencing something that happened in the past, they would give you a little synopsis, a little box that would say, this is what happened, or go check this out. Now, granted, if you couldn't find that issue, you could find compilations, you could find reprints. I mean, there was always a way. There was a feel for collecting that you maybe wanted to get those issues because then you could see those stories if you couldn't get a reprint of them and so on and so forth. But you know what? Sometimes that little explanation of what it was that was right in the text or a character saying, well, you remember when this happened and they have a little flashback with a few panels was enough for me. And how am I different at 9, 10, 11 years old than a 9, 10, or 11-year-old today? Well, yeah, they have competition from video games, and they have competition from other things, and I understand that, but I don't know. It's not like I don't understand why they do these things. I guess I just don't appreciate it.
Well, they started doing it in the early 90s when the market got choked, and it's never recovered since.
All right. Well, we could spend all night talking about
this.
But we should really take a break, I think, and then get into some other things.
Okay.
And as we're going out of break, here's a little bit more of the mystery of episode 28 as we go to break.
All right, fellas, I'm going to head out. I'm going to go have my chocolate martini now, and I'll catch you guys fruity. In another week or so.
I thought it was a fruity drink.
You already drank that one.
Ah, that too. I'll have the flirtini afterwards. That's got cranberry juice in it.
He's two-fisting it on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
As long as she's not two-fisting it.
Hey, now.
Hey, look, we can't use hey now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I keep telling you.
I'm sorry.
All right. Now have a different reaction.
Now, hey, Matt.
All right. I can't think of a different reaction.
Good. Have another drink. And we'll talk to you later.
All right, boys. Have fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a hoot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So there he goes, back to enjoy his honeymoon. Matt, it's time for the National, the Comic Book Art and Sci-Fi Expo, the last great show of the year in New York City.
That's right, Kev. It's coming up November 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion.
Right, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday from 1 to 8, Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 10 to 7.
For more information on the show, you can go to BigAppleCon.com.
Hey, did you see the guests on this thing?
I did.
TV's Batman, Adam West.
Val Kilmer from Tombstone, The Doors, and Batman Forever.
Michael Biehn from Terminator and Aliens, as well as a couple of The Warriors.
Nice.
David Harris, who played Cochise. Roger Hill, who played Cyrus. Can you dig it? And Apache Ramos, who was one of the orphans.
In addition, Geek Stuff will be there as well, so stop on by and say hello.
Right, and we will be there alongside such great comic artists as John Romita Sr.
and Jr.
Bernie Wrightston, Neil Adams, Travis Cherist. You want to come down and you want to see the show, go to BigAppleCon.com for more information and come and say hi when you're there.
I am the stone that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that made ladies sing the blues. I'm the spark that makes your idea bright. The same spark that lights the dark so that you can know you're not from your wife. I am the ballad in your box, the bullet in the gun, the inner glow that lets you know to call your brother son. The story that just begun, the promise of...
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 20. What are you chewing over there?
I have found the most amazing candy combination.
Did you make that or it came like that?
No, I made it.
Oh, you're quite the gourmet.
It's peanut butter M&Ms and dark chocolate.
You're the Rain Man of M&Ms.
Yo, I got a question.
Yes?
I got this problem. I found a bag of toys, and I found it was like this canvas bag with, I'd say, 60 to 75 G.I. Joes in it.
Mm-hmm.
My old G.I. Joe collection, right? Yeah, yeah. And I took them out, and I started to line them up, and I was going to, like, roll them up somehow or put them in bubble wrap and then put them back in another container so they'd be in a little better condition. And, like, 25 of them just came apart at the coccyx.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know why that is.
Mm-hmm. The friggin', like, rubber band just dried out.
Yeah. It dry rot.
And it just rotted, and that's it. So that's I got all these legs and shit, like, hanging out in the bottom. What can I do?
They actually sell, like, rubber D-rings that you could put them back together with.
Yeah.
I got to take the guy apart to get it in there?
Because
it
looks like...
Apparently, they're taken apart already.
The legs
on
fell off.
On the back, there is one screw. Uh-huh. You unscrew it. The torso comes apart. You would use the hook that's on the legs to hook the bottom of the ring and put the ring over the screw, the peg where the screw goes in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just put the arms back in, reassemble the body. I used to do that all the time and make my own kind of dudes.
You know, I guess I figured that out at some point because I saw some guys and I saw that I have a globulous top, but it's not the globulous bottom. He was like a green worm. Like he's got legs on him. So at some point I was like, all right, this guy's got to walk now instead of slither around.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Thank you. I'll work on that.
And actually, I think if you look online, if you do some searches, there's actually a company out there that makes... I mean, you can go to Home Depot and kind of do it yourself, but I think there's actually a company that produces
the rings
specifically for G.I. Joe figures.
Yeah, there
so
is.
You can find them.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Just got to search.
And my G.I. Joe collection will live again.
Be complete.
We are actually going to delve right now, and I am very excited to be talking about this, Matt. And I'm hoping this is going to lead us into... a very exciting interview in a couple of weeks. We are pleased and proud and always excited to see new products from a little company we like to call Mezco.
It's like the little company that could.
It also happens that they like to call the company Mezco as well.
It's true.
So which is a good coincidence for us. Mezco, little company, the little company that could, I like to say. They've been around a while now. They've been doing a bunch of things. And here's the theory, Matt, that I want to put forth about Mezco.
Okay.
And Mez himself. Of course, the guy who runs Mezco. And
he's a swell man.
He is. And hopefully, we're going to get him on this show in the next couple of weeks so he can tell us whether this theory of mine is correct or not.
Okay.
Mez is the kind of guy, or Mezco is the kind of company, it seems to me, that really wants to do its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to do their own thing. I mean, they have some outstanding lines that have nothing to do with anything else.
It's true.
Right? And we're going to talk about one of those in a few minutes. But they've done things over time that really have, whether you consider them hot or cold or not, to me, from a design perspective and an executable or an execution perspective, they were designed great, executed great, and they really were not a big market license. So, that being said, the stuff that they do that's marketed licensed stuff is fantastic.
It's true.
I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it's outrageously good.
Sure.
And they have got some killer licenses that they are just running away with.
Good for them. Good
and
for us.
What I think my theory here is that they do these great licensed products in order to be able to do the little independent things that they like to do on their own. So that's my theory that we're putting forth. So let's talk about some of their now we know what some of their current big licenses are. Obviously, gotta be said, their number one license right now is what?
Is it Family Guy?
Family Guy. Gotta be Family Guy. And you know what? They have been banging out Family Guy products since they've gotten the license. Mm-hmm. The figures, the first wave of figures, impossible to find.
Especially
because
Lois.
It was right. I mean, they couldn't have hit at a better time. They couldn't have hit at a better time right when the whole sort of resurgence of Family Guy was happening, and they exploded. And now they're up to, I don't even know where they're at now, four?
Maybe even five, somewhere around there, four or five.
Four or five. They've done interesting characters all along. They've done, they're listening to the fans as far as fan requests go. They got, every one of us who is any kind of toy collector has gotten that Peter versus the Chicken.
Hell yes.
Proudly on display in their collection. Fantastic piece. All the Family Guy stuff, fantastic. Let's talk about a few more of the big licenses they
okay.
have. Matt, what do you got sitting next to you?
I have South Park.
Right, which is a fairly new license for them. I think this is Wave 3.
It is Wave 3.
They there was a company before this that mm-hmm. was producing South Park toys. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what their name.
I believe it was Mirage.
No, I don't think it was Mirage.
Mirage, and but it was some subsidiary of some Japanese company, but I'm pretty positive it was Mirage.
Interesting. They were not nearly as good as the ones that are coming from Mezco, in the sense that they were producing sort of the normal run-of-the-mill, you know, okay, here's Kyle, and that's done.
Right.
Mezco is really just, again, taking a license, listening to fans, and just running with it.
Sure.
And so what wave do you have there?
It's Series 3.
It's Series 3. And what characters appear in Series 3?
There are six sets, but I guess technically there are seven figures.
Okay, what do you got?
There's Cartman as the police officer.
Right.
With the shades, which might I add, look fucking great on him.
Yeah, the respect my authority.
Authority. There's Timmy with his wheelchair. There's Mr. Mackey.
Okay.
Butters, which, you know.
Let's talk about Butters for a second.
Okay.
Do you got the Butters there?
I do.
Let's talk about Butters accessories just for 1 second. Now, so you guys know, we have an affinity for Butters here on Geek Stuff.
We do.
And, always great to see a Butters figure. In fact, we both ran out to get the Professor Chaos plush, and I hope that Mezco is listening and they're going to produce a Professor Chaos action
my God,
figure
they have to.
For us pretty soon, I hope. What's his accessories there, Matt?
He comes with the hockey mask.
Right. And that's kind of the one I want to focus on.
Okay.
Do you remember that one? It was the sex education episode.
Oh, God.
The boys versus the girls.
Yes, yes.
The girls were all, they kind of did a Road Warrior thing where they turn to Butters and say, Butters, tell him to come out. And Butters puts on the mask. The girls are all kind of in the little fortress. Butters puts on the hockey mask and says, just walk away. Just walk away. It was hysterical. And obviously, Mezco, talking about the details, decided that was a great accessory choice. And I have to agree with him. Fantastic. When I saw it, I absolutely flipped.
In addition to that, it comes with the best friends drawing.
Yes.
Which is Butters and... Oh, I can't remember the robot's name.
Awesomeo.
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 In the Awesomeo robot uniform.
Awesomeo is going to be featured in Series 4.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I know. I think that's going to be probably their best-selling figure.
Lame.
So that being said, obviously, and do we skip any other? Who else are the characters in there?
Frozen Kenny.
Frozen Kenny, right, from that episode where he tried to turn on the electric. Uh-huh. And
right. And then there is Jesus with the God accessory.
Yes, Jesus.
That's why I said there was an extra figure.
Right, with God, who is some sort of twisted creature, which always thought
it's
that
like
was so hysterical.
Monkey's body with elephant feet and a hippo head. And
yeah, so if you're familiar with South Park, you know what the God character right. looks like. And he is actually an accessory with the Jesus action figure. I think that covers the line, right?
That covers the line, yes.
And Like we said, great choices, great characters, and they continue to produce interesting choices. They actually have a finger bang set coming out.
Yes.
When Cartman dreamed of having the boys be a boy band so they could be millionaires. The boy band was called Finger Bang, and they have a box set coming out of all the boys in their Finger Bang outfits, which is pretty cool.
I just want to say, if it's at all possible and there's no sort of licensing issue with it, I would love to see them do the Lord of the Rings characters.
Yeah. We must return the Lord of the Rings to the video store. Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Butters as the Gollum with the porno. And
oh, that would be, you know, that would be a good box set. They're doing box sets of stuff.
Yeah, you could easily do that. So,
Jimmy.
Anyway, getting away from South Park.
Right. Let's get into something that's a little off the mark, okay?
Okay.
Mezco has been doing... Now, Mezco, one of the things they're known for is that they have very stylized figures.
Yes.
Some of their lines, very stylized. Mm-hmm. They did a line of figures from the movie The Warriors.
They did.
Which were fantastic.
They were.
Stylized, little cartoony, but within the Mezco style.
Right. They also did... they also did, in this style, the Scarface figures.
Right.
And they did Edward Scissorhands, too, didn't they? Well, they did Vincent Price, right?
They did.
But didn't they do an Edward also?
Yeah, I think they did, yeah. Pretty sure they did.
They were kind of big figures also.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the ones we're looking at right now, though, are the Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Rap group Public Enemy.
Flava Flav and Chuck D.
Flava Flav and Chuck D. They're nice. A little stylized, a little cartoony, and they're perfect.
They are.
They are just awesome. Let's just concentrate on Flava Flav for a second. He's got the velour sort of jogging suit.
Is it real cloth or is it?
Oh, it's real cloth. Yeah.
Nice, baby.
Real cloth, the sunglasses, gold teeth, big gold chain with a clock
nice.
Around his neck. Yeah, these are great. Great pieces. They also have coming, but not out yet, Biggie Smalls.
Oh, my God. That Biggie Smalls figure. I am no way a fan of rap. Well, modern rap, at least. Some of the older stuff I like.
You mean like Houdini?
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like Public Enemy.
The freaks come out at night?
The freaks do come out at night. I am in no way a fan of rap, for the most part. I am in no way a fan of Biggie Smalls. But when I saw that Biggie Smalls figure, never before in my life have I been so uncomfortable with wanting a figure so bad.
Yeah, when we saw him at Toy Fair, he really just knocked our socks
off. He just looks, something about the figure, he just looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great piece.
Yeah, it really is a great piece. And again, it's kind of, you know, you're kind of looking at a very focused group of collectors there, I think.
Yes.
And I think that that's kind of what I would call sort of a middle of the road. It's not a mass market appeal per se. But it definitely has its following.
Right.
Where something like a South Park or a Family Guy, mass market appeal, just a huge fan base covering many, many different spectrums. I think when you start to get into Public Enemy and Biggie, didn't they do Run DMC also?
They did do Run
DMC. A while back. When you start getting into that kind of niche thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that stuff.
No.
Who's doing figures of rappers? I know somebody did Eminem a while back.
Someone did a Snoop Dogg.
Someone did a Snoop Dogg, I think. But the point is that's you're getting very niche
right.
there. And to be able to produce figures of this quality in a niche kind of vein of collecting, you got to take your hat off to that.
Sure.
I mean, that's really
sure
something. Let's move again, more sort of into a, do you call this niche or do you call this more mainstream?
You know what? I'm not sure. I'd almost want to say that it kind of falls between the two. It's in a weird spot.
With
the movie line.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself now.
I know.
We don't even know what you're talking
about.
Well,
we're talking about the comic book Hellboy figures.
Right.
With the movie line, they really kind of hit mainstream because the movie was relatively successful. You know, there was a sequel coming out, and the figures from the movie were outstanding. And when they first came out, flew off the shelves. They were very hard to come by.
Oh, yeah.
With that, they were smart enough to realize that there was a Hellboy fan base out there, and they took the comic book license and are now running full steam ahead with it.
And they are, you know, we've talked about companies like DC Direct. Well, actually, I'm going to say it directly. We have talked about DC Direct doing artist-inspired lines in the sense that it looks as if the art has got up off the page in three-dimensional form of the figures. Alex Ross.
Jim Lee.
Jim Lee. Darwin Cook. And a few other artists. Tim Sale. They have captured this these artists' styles in such a way as to render the characters in three dimensions and not lose one ounce of the artist style that it's based on. That can easily be said about Mezco's comic book Hellboy line.
Right.
Which we are looking at series two of right now, which features the characters Roger, who is part of the BRPD,
right?
Or the BPRD, the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense.
Yes.
It also features Johan,
right?
Who I believe is also part of that, if I remember my Hellboy correctly. It features Alien, who I'm not exactly sure who he is in regards to the Hellboy saga. But I'll tell you what, looking at this figure, I'm going to go find out who the hell he is.
Sure.
Because he looks cool as hell. And what's great about this is you see a nice piece of Mike Mignola artwork. Now, whatever you think about Mike, I maybe have an issue. But his artwork is phenomenal.
Sure.
His artwork on Hellboy, phenomenal.
Sure.
And you see kind of the artwork in the packaging here. And you can see exactly what I'm talking about, as if the character is getting up out of that artwork into three-dimensional form. That stands true with all of these figures, including the fourth and final piece from the line, which is Hellboy with a rocket pack.
Right.
This
would probably be the second toy line inspired by Mike Mignola characters that actually looked like the original product.
Right.
Atlantis being the first line.
That's true. Although
the Disney Atlantis figures, those original ones looked really good, and you definitely could see Mignola style it.
I got them.
I know, I'm just saying.
I got them simply because Mignola designed the movie.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's true what you're saying. But let's concentrate on Mezco.
I'm sorry.
Hellboy with a rocket pack. Of course, in a Hellboy line, you understand that you have to do a Hellboy figure.
Right.
And at least they're giving us something that it's not a kitchen sink.
Okay.
Not a kitchen sink, Matt. I want to stress that. It's not a kitchen sink Hellboy. There was a storyline, did feature Hellboy with a rocket pack.
Okay.
So, that being said, I think they've done a beautiful job here. And like I said, this is a more, do we decide is this middle of the road?
Yeah, well, this kind of falls between niche and mass market, because Hellboy and the Hellboy fan base outside of the movie definitely is...
Well, picking up.
Niche. It is picking up, but it's niche.
Right.
But it's got a little bit of a pickup, I think, as a result of the movie. So it kind of falls somewhere in there.
Let's talk just real briefly about a couple more things that are interesting about Mezco. If you are a Mezco completist, you are an insane person.
Yes.
Now, the reason for this is, generally speaking, and they started this a while back now, when Mezco does character figures like South Park, like
Family Guy,
like Hellboy. Yes, they did that with Hellboy figures, didn't they? They do different expressions on the face.
Right.
So they may pick two, three, four different expressions and produce figures for those. So Let's say, for example, Police Officer Cartman from earlier.
Right.
Police Officer Cartman, on the back of the package, he's kind of pictured with a kind of yelling face, like he's yelling.
Right.
But the one we have, he's kind of calm, cool, and collected and showing his badge, which is a little different. And Mezco tends to do this with these characters, give them different expressions, and so on and so forth. With the Hellboy figures, initially it was that whether he was it was
grinning, what they were, not it was, grinning. Wasn't there a woman with a cigar? Not with a cigar.
No. It was the right hand of doom open
right hand of doom
closed. Mouth open, mouth closed.
Right.
So there are variations that Mezco likes to do, and so that everybody can find something that they like.
But let me say something about these variations.
Yes.
Having worked in stores that carry these products when they come in, when you crack a case of the product,
right?
The packouts are even.
Right.
So you have one open fist and you have one closed fist in the pack. So if ever it becomes hard to find one over the other, that is consumer driven, not Mezco driven.
Right. Which is a great thing. So what are these variants? No. They're paint variants.
Well, no. Right? No, they're sculpt variants, technically.
Right. Sculpt variants. On some of them. On the South Park, they're not necessarily sculpt variants.
Like on the Family Guy ones, for example, Peter Griffin, I think there was like four or five of them, and it was just his eyes that changed.
Right.
Like looking to the left, looking to the right, closed, open.
And Stewie?
Closed. Stewie had a few expressions. Facial expression also. But again, it's kind of a paint variant. I guess on South Park, it's a paint variant, but on Hellboy, it was a sculpt.
I think the Cartman, I think, is actually a sculpt variant. Because he's not holding up the badge in the one on the back.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not. You're right. He doesn't have the badge.
So it's... I think it's good in a sense, and normally I would not say this, but I think in this case...
Wait, I just want to correct you real quick.
Okay.
On the Cartman figure, or in the case of the Cartman figure, the badge is not a variant. That's an alternate arm that comes with the figure.
Oh, it is?
He comes with arm, sans badge.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so that solves that mystery. Normally on these in this variant issue... We're normally like, okay, you know what? Commit to one thing and put it out. But I got to say that I think the way that Mezco approaches it is they're giving the collector, if you want to be a completist, you're going to go out and find all of these things and you're going to get them all, and that's fine. But really, are these really completist lines? I don't know. I'm sure there are some completists out there. But I think in this case, it's kind of giving you the opportunity to say, well, you know what, I like the way this expression looks better, so I'm going to pick this one. Or I like open mouth, closed fist Hellboy because that kind of appeals to me more than the open fist non-smiling one or whatever your thing is. And the fact that they're packed out evenly.
That's the important part in my opinion.
I think so.
My opinion, the important part is that that any... shortage of a particular figure is consumer driven and not Mezco driven. Mezco is not looking to screw you or hurt you as a collector by limiting what they put out. Instead, they're giving you options, and the consumers are deciding what sells and what doesn't.
Let's also remember that when eventually we get Mez on this show, that we got to ask him about that. We got to have him explain to us where he's going with that. And speaking of where he's going, Matt, let's talk about a Mezco original concept line. You're holding it in your hand. What is it?
I am. Well, it's part of a much larger Mezco line. It's Mezits. Okay.
Right. Mezits.
And Mezco has been doing Mezits for quite some time now. They did a bunch of horror-based Mezits, I believe. I want to say they did something else other than horror-based, but...
Well, let's say what a Mezit is.
Okay. Mezit is kind of like... It's kind of like a cross between a small action figure and a Kubrick.
So, a couple of years ago, the very popular thing to do was create a small, limited articulation, sort of cartoony, sort of very simple, Japanese-inspired... figure.
Right.
And everybody put them out.
Uh-huh.
Mezco, did the Mezzets. Art Asylum did.
Mini Mates.
There had to be 10 others that I can't remember.
Yeah.
At the moment. What's that other big one?
Well, Kubrick's was the original one.
Kubrick's was the original one from Japan. Shock.
Well, yeah. Well, Stikvas and Shocker Toys kind of did it,
right.
Sorta. I think Mediacom even did it with their Bear Bricks.
Right, Bear Bricks.
So
there was a lot. Yeah.
And it's part of that whole vinyl,
right,
movement.
Mezzets developed during that time,
mm-hmm.
and have kind of steadily kept going.
The thing about Mezzets that kind of stand out is that they kind of have the atypical hands,
right,
and squatty legs that you see in this type of figure, but everything else in the figure is very well sculpted. Whereas, like in a line like the Mini Mates, it's kind of like a Lego painted to look like Wolverine.
Exactly, it's just squared off
right.
looking.
I mean,
thing.
These actually are sculpted. I mean, and what we're looking at are the Pirate Mezzets.
Absolutely fantastic. As you may or may not know, Matthew and I obsessed with pirates.
It's true, and these are just painful to my wallet. But lovely to hold in my hands. I don't know what else to say about them other than Mezco has really taken this line like they've done with their other Mezzets, like they do with their other individual kind of original inspired licenses, and run with it. I think we're looking at...
they have designed, 12 or 13 unique characters for the Pirate Mezzets. Mm-hmm. They come 3 to a pack.
Correct.
And they each have a little accessory with them, a sword or a pistol of some sort. They are unique and different, each one of them.
Right.
And they kind of run the gamut of your pirate design, if you will.
Uh-huh.
One guy's got a hook. One guy's got the peg leg. All your sort of generic pirate stereotypes are all... well represented here.
An Asian looking Fu Manchu guy in there.
Right.
They got the voodoo slave piratey looking guy in there, and they've got
right.
They got Scabby Joe, which was an exclusive, and he's kind of like your typical undead pirate. He's a skeleton looking guy, and I mean,
they got captains, they got guys with eye patches. I mean, it really runs the whole gamut. You get 3 per pack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really fantastic, and I don't think that this line is, going to be as commercially successful as the South Park line or the Family Guy line. However, it will find its niche.
Sure.
And hopefully somebody listening to this program will want to find out more about Mezco and Mezco's original concept ideas and products. And if you guys are interested, and you should check it out, you want to go right over to your internet browser and type in www.mezco.net. MEZCO.net. You can check out their wide market lines,
mm-hmm.
as well as their individual products, which I think will continue to think have always been original, interesting, different,
sure.
well executed, well designed stuff.
Sure.
And I'm very, very happy that they're out there and that they're holding on and that they're still doing great work. You know, other companies have come and gone. Other companies wanted to do big licenses. I'm not going to mention any names. But other companies that got big licenses that turned out to be not so big licenses, well, guess what?
Right.
They're gone now. Mezco's holding on. Mezco's doing great original stuff. Mezco's got some kick-ass killer licenses.
And Mez, if you're listening to this program now, we would love to have you come on the show and talk to us about some of these great lines.
Absolutely. I want to hear about his decision with regards to the variant faces and mm-hmm. things that we talked about. I want to hear more about upcoming stuff that they have.
Ooh,
going
those
on.
Kong pieces.
Original items and things like that. Yeah, we didn't even talk about their con exclusives are legendary.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, in fact, Matt and I decided probably the con exclusive of the year.
I'd say more than of just the year, but...
The Family Guy Angry Monkey con exclusive. This was, would you call it full size, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
Almost.
It's probably 1-1 scale, maybe.
The Angry Monkey from Family Guy, they kind of, it's almost life size.
It is. It is. It's 1-1 scale, I think.
1-1 scale. And he's got the angry expression on, and he's pointing, and he has his other hand as a fist.
Yeah.
He's flocked in his furry part, so he feels soft. He's posable. Probably one of, if not the best convention exclusives I can think of in recent memory. When other companies, with all due respect, when other companies are putting out things that they've already put out in one color.
Right.
I don't want to mention any names. When other companies are putting out, let's say, 4 or 5 characters from a TV show from one episode, and 6 different companies have each of the figures. I mean, with that sort of thing, it's all interesting and stuff. But when a product is as great as the Angry Monkey, it's just, it kind of quietly came and went. It wasn't any big fervor about it, although there should have been. And it's just fantastic. It's nice to see that Mezco has got a finger on the pulse of its collectors. That's refreshing.
I concur.
And like we said, Mez, we really want you to come on our show and talk to us about what you have going on. Where you been? Where you are? Where you're going? And hopefully, fantastic. Maybe you can get that set up. Yeah? Okay. What?
Just saying.
He's the producer.
He is.
Let him produce. That's what I say.
Hot air.
He didn't hear you. I heard you. He didn't hear you. Better stop talking shit about Fantastic, dude.
He's like right there.
He's listening.
Anyway.
Actually, he's not listening. He just found out that we were talking.
And we're going to wrap up this Mezco segment. We're going to take a quick break. But leading us into the break, here's another little clue as to the mystery of Geek Stuff, episode 28.
Fantastic. I got to tell you, I miss him. It's not right when he's not here.
I definitely can't do this alone.
What do you mean? If I went away and he went away, it would be the Fantastic Show? Fantastic's Geek Stuff?
What would it be about?
Ugh, who the hell knows? You? I don't know. Probably the very subtle differences between every Street Fighter game, I suspect.
I can't even stand my own voice. I wonder what other people think.
Because we could have taken this week off because he's gone. And, you know, despite the fact that it seems like, you know, Fantastic and I do all the work, you know, really, really Matt's doing a lot of the legwork, obviously. By the suck level of this episode right here, you can tell who's doing a lot of the setup and legwork on this show. That's all I'm saying. Fantastic, our producer, any final words?
No, I don't do a damn thing.
It was a Friday night, I walk alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants, but then I turned on the TV and that's about the time she walked away.
That's a little, another reason why there was no episode 28 right there.
Well, it's becoming clear now at least.
Yeah.
The mystery is unraveling.
Unraveling. It's like a Columbo.
Oh,
finally,
man.
At the end, one of us will turn and go, "Excuse me, Mr. Fantastic." One more thing.
All right. So tonight we talked about Timothy Oliphant portraying the bad guy in the 4th Die Hard flick, going against Bruce Willis's John McClane. And I don't know. That's about it. I don't know if it's going to be a good movie or not.
And
but
Friends.
And Friends. We also talked about Marvel making an announcement that they're going to be doing a Moon Knight miniseries.
Which led us, of course, into a discussion about Marvel Legends,
right?
Series 15, the MODOK wave,
mm-hmm.
As well as Marvel Icons 3, Marvel Face Offs 2, and Marvel Masterworks 2 or 3, or whichever it's going to be by then. We also talked about Joss Whedon leaving Astonishing X-Men or entering his final story arc in Astonishing X-Men, and how it's, again, just another shitty example of Marvel continuity or lack of, or what's going on. And Joss or Whedon or whatever you want to call him, I call him the God creator of Firefly, has done this book for a while now. It has nothing to do with continuity, yet supposedly it takes place in a short period of time. So maybe it does fall in, maybe wherever you fall on this, it's coming to an end. So you can look forward to that if you like.
From there, we move directly into Mezco. What Mezco's doing, what we like about it. It's niche markets, it's mass market markets. And
original design.
And original designs.
And products, at which, you know, when you can cover all three of those areas and do it effectively, you've got a great company. I defy anyone to name another company that is doing... doing just that. Name another company that's doing mass market, niche market, and original material.
No one.
And I can't think of one.
No one.
We're very excited. You can go to Mezco, MEZCO.net. You can check out all the products we talked about and a whole bunch of others that we that we haven't. Yeah, but we're going to talk about them in the future. You can guarantee that.
Sure.
And hopefully joining us in a few weeks, if we can make it happen, will be none other than Mez himself.
Nice.
That will be very interesting. Very interesting conversation. So,
I think that's about it.
That's episode 29, the mystery of episode 28.
Or as I like to call it, the mystery of episode blah.
It's not really a mystery. Actually, we're going to close out with the only sort of kind of could be inferred as a sort of highlight, something that you missed. We had a surprise guest show up and something that we've been following regarding Mr. Fantastic and this surprise guest finally happened while you were away.
Aw, I missed it.
You did miss it. And I guess here it is. Hey, guys. We're cutting in on our episode here because a very special guest has stopped by the studio. And, of course, it is show favorite Retailer X. How are you, Retailer X?
I'm great, Kevin. I really like the Sideshow Alerts mic stand you got me here.
Isn't that awesome? How cool is that piece, man?
I'm trying to talk into the mic and I keep like looking down. I'm like, oh, that's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's awesome. But moving past the Sideshow Alerts for a moment, we've asked Retailer X to come tonight because... well, we figure we can just hammer this out once and for all. I know Matt's going to be upset that he missed this, but, well, we got to do, you know, just because he's having copious amounts of sex does not mean that the show stops. Fantastic is the one that said that. I'm quoting Fantastic on that. And so, Retailer X, what brings you here tonight?
Well, Mr. Fantastic has been assigned a duty by the show that he's been lax in fulfilling.
Yes, so this is true. He has been neglecting a certain... I don't know if I call it a duty, but he's definitely been neglecting something that we have been talking about for weeks and weeks.
I have?
Well, I thought your command made it duty, so...
Well, I mean, yes, but, you know, we don't like to use words like duty.
Well, I'm providing some cover.
Or honor.
I'm providing some backup for my guy, so...
Right, gotcha, okay. So, Retailer X, what have you brought for us this evening?
I have...
We're moving.
Literally hidden.
Oh, look! It's a Gotham by Gaslight action figure from DC Direct.
I knew I failed in something.
Well, look at that. Finally in his hands. Doesn't that make you smile?
That is nice.
And that is from, of course, from Elseworlds Series 2. It is the Gotham by Gaslight Batman that Fantastic has yet to pick up, even though he said that this was the piece that he wanted from the line. Retailer X was nice enough to bring it over here. And Retailer X, what does he owe you, like 15 bucks on that?
12 bucks.
17.
Just ducky.
12 bucks.
Plus 7%.
Plus 7% tax. So you probably owe him like 14.
Well, since I just spent all my money on your dinner, sorry, I can't buy it.
Okay, I'll take the soup. That's fine.
That's okay. You take the soup and he'll take, you know, now of course, now you owe him money. So
let's set it up. And so the Lurtz is cutting his head off.
Yeah, let's do it. Lurtz could be eating him like a snack.
I think that Lurtz could almost take me.
That Lurtz is a quarter scale.
We break
my
the
friend.
Show for some playtime now.
He's
we
huge.
Got these nice figures.
And we hope you enjoy your little surprise tonight, your Gotham by Gaslight Batman figure, Elseworlds Series 2 from DC Direct.
Awesome. Thank you very much, both of you, for having me here today.
And thank you, Retailer X, for hopping on by and making this happen.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Look at me. Look at me. Happened about... I haven't done this in 20 years.
Oh. Grandpa!
I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury, 'cause I'd have said
it couldn't be done.
But it can be done.
Ooh, the cane, Charlie. Ah. Ah. Here I go. Watch my speed. Oh,
hoop. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day. Good morning! Look at the sun! I'd have said it couldn't be done, but it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden.